Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We have Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how we doing today, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're trying to make our way through the rest of this season, Mick. That's trying to figure out a way to stay positive about it all as we're wanting to see a little bit more, but all at the same time protect, and also kind of still bummed about the fact that it's not going to be a fruitful playoff season for us.
Yeah, I mean, that always, you know, when the season comes to kind of a screeching end. That's always the feeling when there's no playoffs. And unfortunately, for 2 years in a row now, everybody deal with that, including these guys. And, as badly as you might feel, I would imagine they feel worse.
The Trayvon Diggs being out on the field, how did that look to you? Did it look kind of like you expected?
Well, considering he hadn't, what was the first time he played in 9 weeks?
Yeah, since the Bears game?
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to set the world on fire because he hadn't set the world on fire before he went on injured reserve. So, and I think they kind of got backed into a corner knowing that with Deron Bland out, with the rest of the group, there was no one there with more than in their second year at cornerback. So I think they had to roll the dice when I think if you had put them on a lie detector test, they would have wanted to just have him finish the season on IR to assure his health more than anything going forward.
And Mickey, I was out a little bit, so I was kind of caught off guard by Quinnen Williams and the neck part of it. How are you feeling about, like, what you think you'll see him at all the rest of the year, or you think this might be something he has to deal with later for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I don't know the extent of the neck part, but I'm sure he hadn't cleared the concussion protocol. Although he was moving along, he and Lipke by Friday. But again, yeah, with the neck deal. I just think you got to see how that plays out. But there's certainly, I mean, think about it. They certainly missed him in the middle there, his presence, his ability. And then they got to just see what the bottom line is on the injury. If it improves, I'm sure he'll want to go out there and play. And if not, then, yeah. Do what everybody's been asking for, play all these other people, and they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they got to see what they were looking for.
Mickey, how do you feel on the offensive side of the ball with the injuries at left tackle, moving Tyler Smith over away from his all-pro position? At this point in his career, does that worry you as much as it did earlier on in his career? I know I was worried when they were trying to figure out, is he a guard, is he a tackle? I was like, put him in one place and let him develop. But now he's kind of shown us what he is. Does that bother you as much when they move him from position to position?
No, not at all. I think they did it out of necessity, right?
Yeah.
They were trying to do the best they could to protect Dak Prescott, and knowing Guyton wasn't going to go, and Nate Thomas, I think, had somewhat leveled out. But also, he was while he was fully practicing, he was gutting it through. He was dealing with a shoulder injury. And I'm not sure what level he would have been able to play at. So I thought between those two factors, it was like, okay, let's make this move, because probably playing with TJ back at guard is better than playing Nate Thomas in his condition at left tackle. So they went ahead and made the move. And I thought he played awfully, awfully well.
All right, let's go ahead and give him a call back here in just a second. Go ahead and try and reconnect with him on that. It's just kind of tough sometimes. I get that. But yeah, I was captivated watching Tyler Smith out there.
Yeah.
With my thoughts heading towards, and I'm going to obviously ask Steven about that later, heading towards, hey, is there a future for that? You're very good up the middle with your guards, but would that be a solution for you? And is there an option to move some of these other guys around and make something like that happen? So whenever I saw Tyler Smith out there, it was very intriguing for sure.
And I wonder, with the early success that they've had in the rookie campaign of Tyler Booker, if they are a little more comfortable making that move, saying, we've found that maybe it's a little bit easier for these guys to develop on the interior of the offensive line. Cooper Beebe was really good to start his career. Maybe they're just more comfortable with rookies starting there. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Hey, Mickey, how are you doing, man?
I'm still good.
There we go. So Tyler Smith, he was pretty comfortable out there then?
Who was that?
Tyler Smith at left tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't give up but one sack, and it was the end of the first half when they were trying to extend the last that play in, with the seconds ticking away. And he hung on to and hoping something opened up. So I thought from a protection standpoint, it was greatly improved over the previous two games, and good enough for, you know, him to throw for 244 yards. Should have been three touchdowns. One got called back. So on a horrible call, by the way, the holding on Tyler Smith. The guy threw his hands up after he got stoned.
Which, I guess, go ahead and do that. You know, that's that would be the play from there on if that's going to be the case. When on Dak's last throw, did you kind of hold your breath just a little bit? Because I was very concerned whenever he had two guys that kind of laid on top of him as he was flying to the right.
On his last throw, I was trying to remember it now. I might have missed it because it was time to go down, right? The game
okay.
was over.
He's moving to his right.
I remember now. Yeah. Yeah. You never want to see that because he had been pretty clean the whole game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're at this point, and I'm sure that kind of encouraged him. It was Joe Milton time, right, for the next possession?
Yes. Yeah, that was exactly what my thought was. And we were just discussing, Mickey, because I remember Romo telling us a long time ago after he's broken his rib, he was like, look, guys, you only have so many of these games. That's why you want to be out there, because you don't want to miss any of them. They're fun. It's an enjoyable experience. But you're now at a spot with the last two games here where you got to figure out how to make sure you keep that guy upright throughout the offseason as well. How do you kind of manage that plan as you go along?
Yeah, and I think from his standpoint, he wants a play, right? He feels like he's part of this, and you know, he's the leader of the team, and he doesn't want to duck out when things are looking bleak, right? That I got to go out there and play. But I bet if you put a GM hat on him and say, okay, now what's your decision? And he'd probably say, yeah, we probably need to take a look at Joe Milton, right? But you hate to do that to the rest of the guys, because it's a hard message to deal with, because, okay, I got to play, but he doesn't. You know, he's more – and they know he's more important than them probably, right?
Maybe.
But again – it's a hard one to discern. I don't know if you let him go out and play a half and then turn it over to Milton. I know deep down that he certainly wants to go. And then from your standpoint, what you ask from a GM standpoint, you're going, yeah, that's okay. Let me take your helmet and put it over here.
Yeah.
Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Mickey, is Keenan Allen the most annoying third down player in NFL history, or did the Cowboys defense just make me feel that way?
I think the Cowboys defense makes you feel that way, right? They get absolutely no pressure on a quarterback that has been beaten up all season long, right? Yeah. I mean, he was having to play with a, you know, had to have surgery to repair a broken bone in his left hand. And that was no more than, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Going into this game, he had been sacked 49 times. 49! And in the last four games, he had been sacked 16 times, right? Hit 33 times. And what do the Cowboys do? Zero sacks. So, yeah, I just think that when you're not doing any better putting pressure, and they tried everything, right? Four-man line, five-man line, five-man line blitz, play the safeties in deep in the cloud cover, play man-to-man that everybody's been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now everybody understands why Matt Eberflus was hesitant to play man defense in the secondary, because they don't cover well enough, and especially when they have the time of day in the pocket. I'm sitting there watching him pat the ball, tap his feet, and I'm going, oh, this is too long, and then he throws a 50-yard touchdown pass. You just didn't have enough pressure up front to offset these quarterbacks that other people gave him. Look, that team had not scored more than 22 points in three of the last four games. And the one they did, it was against the Raiders. All right? They scored 6 points against Jacksonville when they got beat. And the Cowboys, you know, here they go, 34 last week, 44 the week before. That's 112 points in three games. Do the average. It comes to 37.
So, Mickey, for the sake of conversation then, and I know this argument it went on all season and it's still there, Micah did add pass rush. Now you're going to be trying to find pass rush again. You feel like you're in better position now, though, that you have some within the interior to go find something else? Or do you think they feel like they might already have something there, it's just not ready yet?
Well, I think from a pass rush situation, I think you got to look at the trade this way. It's a 3-for-1, right? They got two defensive tackles that they probably wouldn't have had, and they still got another first-round pick for next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you cash in on that with something, then you got three guys for one. And I think that was the idea. And not only that, also you have to include the fact that they're not spending $46 million on a pass rusher.
Right.
Now, you're going to say, well, if you go out and sign one in free agency, you might have to spend that. Well, that's to be seen. But normally, if people have a guy like that, they're not trading them, right?
Right.
And that would be the criticism of the Cowboys for making the trade. But I think they felt like they needed a lot more than what they had defensively heading into this year. And the fact of the matter that is, he's kind of a pain to have to deal with.
Yeah, no, yeah, I understand. I understand that completely. Mickey, thank you for your time today, good sir. You go have a good one. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
Carry on, boys. See ya.
Thank you very much. There goes Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford, your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Now, Alec, last night, the Dallas Stars notch another win. That is now four straight. Look at these scores, though, in the last four games. 4-1, 5-3, 8-3, 5-1. Like, that is exceptional hockey that we get to see. And Robertson scored his 23rd goal this year. He is now tied for third in goals scored. He added two the other night against the Ducks as well. But he's tied with Connor McDavid is who he's tied with, which makes it pretty awesome that you have Jason Robertson on this kind of a heater. You know, and then they got into the fight the other night too, where everything, you know, there's the brawl that was going down.
That was absurd.
And but yesterday's game just looked like complete control from not only the. It was kind of interesting. I expected a little more out of the power play early from the Stars, but they figured it out. But, man, Ottinger was so good last night. Ottinger really turned it on, made some exceptional. He was definitely shining for sure.
And those are the kind of games that I love to see from the Stars, where coming out of the gates, the offense isn't exactly clicking. They're not getting the looks that they want. Maybe they're not as aggressive. some slower starts. That's the one thing that this team does to irritate me to no end is the slower starts. But Jake Oettinger, you know he's at his best when he is cool, calm, and collected when the offense is giving nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the offense eventually figures it out. That game was fun just because I had no pause where I was like, it's going to be a tough day. Oettinger was locked in. I was like, they're going to figure this out. And for most of the better half of the game for the Stars, it felt like Oettinger did just get to kind of hang back and watch. It was
late in the period, in the first and second period, it seemed like he didn't have a stick at one point, and it was like, don't worry, guys, I got this. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right, though. He did just kind of chill.
Yeah.
But whenever it was time for him to be called upon, it was like, oh man, there it is. That's why.
And 27 saves on the night, but then the Stars offense does kind of come to life there with Jason Robertson getting a nice little rare win over his brother Nick.
Nice.
Who plays for the other team.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty cool. I always love those storylines. But Jason Robertson, you mentioned him. He continues on the heater after an attempted chokeout just a few days before. That situation was just odd and weird and gross, and I hated everything about it. But I saw lots of people getting mad on social media, too, about the lack of response from the Stars after that choking takedown. But
it is the way that this team is, and it's. I feel like if I've learned anything from Spittle and the Spits and Suds podcast, it is that those things do get taken care of eventually. You'd like to see it happen more immediately, that somebody takes things down, but this game has a crazy way of percolating things in the locker room, and then it turns into something later on in the next meeting or the next outing.
Yeah, and I will say I'll give the team the benefit of the doubt on there, too, because it kind of happened behind the play.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of guys just didn't see it.
Happens.
And they turn around, and Jason Robertson's on the ground, and nobody's really near him at that point. So I'm like, oh, I think we're being a little harsh. But, yeah, nice to see Robo continuing that success. And the revitalization that he's found here, because we were knocking him a lot, and Stars fans were knocking him a lot because, you know, disappear in the playoffs, whatever. Shout out to the hockey,
yeah,
Micah Parsons and everything.
That's definitely me.
Yeah, but I never find myself too panicked, and I know it's still the beginning part of the regular season, but we got to make it to the postseason when it matters and everything. But Jason Robertson's heater, we haven't had that kind of star power in Dallas in a while. And the pairing of him, you add Mika Rantanen, who's a legitimate stud. It seems like he's a plus every single game. He might not actually be a plus in the plus minus, but it seems like he's adding something offensively, and he's opening things up for Jason Robertson, which, hey, people forget. That's right. People forget how young Jason Robertson still is and how much time he's got to really figure this thing out. Seeing him continue to just go at this pace is... it's exciting.
Yeah, it is, man, and we will keep eyes on the ice. Coming up next, it is time for a sandwich-free version of AM on the FM.
What? We got the question of the day, plus Kevin Durant stinks just off the court, not on the court. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Stephen Jones here in just a second. We'll get him on the line. But before we do, it does the DK Metcalf previously evidently reported the same Lions fan to Seahawks security in 2024 from Tom Pelissero. He adds that a source close to Metcalf said the fan who identified himself to the Detroit Free Press is called Metcalf's mother a derogatory word, and then called Metcalf something, quote, something we both know you don't call a black man. So evidently he's already had a relationship in some way, shape, or form with this this person, and he didn't speak after the game, but obviously the video shows what it does show. Right now, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Stephen, how are we feeling today, man?
Oh, we're just grinding through it. Obviously a tough one against the Chargers, but you know, we got to get right to work. We got the Commanders coming up here Thursday on a short week.
Yeah, you know, Stephen, yesterday Jerry kind of, he said, we were just kind of discussing this. He was asked if the organization underachieved. And he pretty much said, yes, there are a lot of different areas. What area do you think the organization underachieved the most?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we set out a goal every year to win our division and, you know, get in the playoffs. And that's where we underachieved. We really felt like, you know, we had a team, had players, you know, especially down the home stretch, that we could get the job done. And, you know, we came up short. And obviously, you know, this year our offense had their moments where, you know, we've really looked good, you know, for the most part. But, you know, hadn't been consistent, didn't protect the ball as well as we would have liked. If you look at it as a whole, up and through, you know, 15 games. And I'd have to say that's where that is. Obviously, the big disappointment's been our defense. And, you know, we just hadn't been able to, you know, get an identity and do the things that we need to do to win football games and consequently put a lot of pressure on the offense. But and then on special teams, I'd say we're, you know, adequate at best. We hadn't been able to get turf loose, so. You know, just as a whole, we hadn't made the plays and done the things we need to do, you know, to win the games it takes to get win a division and get in the playoffs.
When we've been discussing Eberflus and where things stand with him, I'm always curious, how do you weigh continuity versus talent and coaching as this thing goes along? Does continuity carry a lot of weight for you?
I think it's a full body of work. You measure everything, and certainly that's what we'll do at the end of the year. We'll take a look at the, you know, at everything, whether it's personnel, whether it's, you know, the coaching, whether it's continuity and what that would play going forward. Obviously, with three changes in 3 years and not having the type of results we've wanted the last couple of years, you know, we've just got to take the full body of work in. We'll certainly do that when this season's over.
Also, this is kind of a philosophy thing. Sometimes hires are made for established success in the past, and then sometimes fresh ideas are necessary. Does that go back and forth, or is there one you prefer over the other?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's everything. I go back, I'm overusing the term full body of work, but you've got to look at everything. You know, I think, you know, one of the more important things for us, too, in this age of, you know, when you get players and you pay players, you have those players, you also got to customize the defense to your, you know, to your most talented guys. Certainly, you know, we put a lot of resources into our defensive line. We've got a young up-and-coming player in Easy that, you know, we really think, you know, has a bright future. Obviously, we love Overshown. You know, it's unfortunate there. He had a concussion playing hard and competing, and, you know, going to be probably hard for him to play on a short week, hard for him to get through the protocol. But, you know, that plays a big role, too. It's just making sure that, you know, we're running the scheme that complements our players' skill sets the best, because there's no question we have some pieces in place, but we also have to utilize, you know, those guys to the best of their skills and got to come up with, you know, the right system that fits what they do best.
Stephen, how do you think Trayvon Diggs looked in his return to the lineup? And you mentioned in the process of him ramping back up, you needed to see the right things in practice and whatnot. What did you think that you saw last week that led to him getting activated again?
Well, the biggest thing is he gave himself a chance with, you know, making sure, you know, that he was, you know, in all the meetings, in all the practices, you know, making everything 100% attendance. You know, a lot of it had been, you know, with his injuries and stuff, he wasn't able to make some practices. And, you know, that happens during the course of a season. He's not the only one who's had that happen, but we really think he plays his best when he's, you know, certainly able to practice day in and day out, and he was able to do that. And, you know, he hadn't played football, you know, in 7-8 weeks. So certainly you're going to have to knock the rust off when you come back. But hopefully he'll have another great short week here, and we'll only get better.
Did the Deron Bland injury play any factor in activating him, or did you just see enough and decide it was time to pull the trigger?
I think it was time. He deserved the right to get out there and play. And he's obviously a talented guy who's had some great years in the NFL. And, you know, I think he did everything the right way last week and, you know, met the standard that Coach Schottenheimer and the defensive staff expect. And I think he deserved to be up. And certainly, obviously, not having Bland and Carson played, you know, that was not helpful either in terms of not having those guys out there. But, you know, I think he deserved to come up and play, and I think he'll have another good week of practice, and hopefully he'll knock a little rust off and continue to improve.
A lot of discussion right now, Stephen, about Tyler Smith playing left tackle out there. And I'm just kind of curious because there's some back and forth on, hey, should we go ahead and move him out to left tackle in that discussion? Is that even a thought for you guys, or is that just a, hey, we had to do something to protect Dak this week?
Well, we had to protect Dak. Obviously, we were going against one of the top defenses in the league, and they get great pressure. And, you know, Nate Thomas is a young guy who you know, has a bright future for us. And certainly we'll, you know, probably get Tyler Guyton back. You know, if not this year, he'll be ready to go next year. And he was really coming on strong. So, you know, what we'll do is, as we always do in the offensive line, is to put the best five players out there. Certainly Tyler Smith stepped up in a big way. He never blinked. And I thought played did a hell of a job out there at left tackle against the Chargers.
But as far as going forward and for his career, you see him as an all-pro left guard?
You know, we just that'll be something we evaluate. It'll be, you know, as into every year you look at what's going to make you the very best football team. You know, right, obviously he's an all-pro left guard that, you know, certainly we wanted to keep around and paid him to be the best in the business, and certainly he's showing what else makes you very valuable on a football team is his versatility. And obviously played left tackle in college. He's played left tackle before, and it's great to have a guy like that who's got that kind of versatility.
Stephen Jones joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. I do want to go back to Matt Eberflus just a little bit, because he did move up to the coach's box for this game and called plays from there. What difference do you see when a coach starts calling plays from the aerial view as opposed to the sideline? Do you notice any difference? Is it just a personal preference thing to you?
A lot of times it's a personal preference. I'd say more times than not. I've had coaches over the years. We've had coaches that like to be down on the sideline. We've also had them that like to call from the box because you see more. I think obviously we're experimenting there a little bit to see, you know, especially with our struggles on defense, is there maybe a better way that, you know, for Coach Eberflus, he and Shotty talked about it and thought that would be a good move. I'm sure they'll figure out what's best for this week and we'll go from there.
It was you got two firsts, but then you also have a bit of a hole in the next couple of rounds. Do you feel like you're going to need to go out and add some draft capital in order to fill the variety of needs on your defense that you need?
You know, we'll just see how the draft falls. That's obviously, you know, as we do our work and we start to work on our board and see where we think, you know, some of the better parts of the draft are to be, then, you know, you can certainly do some maneuvering around, you know, to if you want to move down in the first, obviously your most values are those first round picks, and you can end up with a, you know, a later first and a second and a third, or a later first and a second and fourth. I mean, there's a lot of ways to maneuver. And certainly as we start to strategize and get our board up and see what we think, you know, we really need to do as we move forward, we'll certainly challenge ourselves to do everything we can to
get our picks in the best spot to get the best players we can to make us better.
And, you know, Steven, I know we talked a little bit about Easy a little bit, but it was evident yesterday that the pass rush was a struggle. Do you feel like you're in a better position having added Quinn in and those tackles in the middle? Do you feel like you're in a better position to add a pass rusher in the offseason?
Sure. I think, you know, obviously that's something we'll look at. We'll look at the whole thing there in terms of, you know, how we're going about getting pressure. There's lots of ways to get pressure. You know, look around the league and there, you know, some people do it with, you know, like the team we played the week before, Minnesota Flores, goes about it in a different way. We'll certainly see what complements our defense and the players we have and the players we think we might could add to make us better going forward. We'll take a long, hard look at that.
Steven, Jerry was asked after the game yesterday about the 30-year Super Bowl drought, and he said, I'll admit that the Cowboys management has played a big role. And he said, I'm very disappointed in the way we're structured, and my role puts us here tonight. I'm tremendously disappointed. What's your point of view on management's role and the structure of this team?
I think everybody gets, plays the role in the results. And whether that's ownership, whether that's management, everybody has a hand in it. And we certainly certainly take responsibility as much as we would, coaching or players or anybody. And, we feel at the end of the day, it starts at the top, and that's Jerry and myself, and we take that responsibility.
I know yesterday also there was conversation, the Cowboys might, in the near next year future, Cowboys might play in Mexico. Would you welcome a game across the border?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what, obviously it's a big initiative of the league is to grow globally. We hadn't used our home game yet. We certainly, at some point, we have to take our turn doing that. We hadn't been the visiting team because most teams protect us and keep us, they want us playing at their home stadiums. So we haven't been able to go as a visiting team, but we're certainly on the docket to go in the next year or two as the home team. And, you know, as part of that, you never know, there may be a situation where we go as a visiting 1 year and a home team the next.
And on the topic of cool and interesting types of games, you guys are playing on Christmas Day. But what's your feelings about getting another holiday that's just going to have Dallas Cowboys football stamped on it? And are you looking forward to getting another holiday, spending it with the family, watching the boys play?
Well, certainly those are certainly opportunities to go out and one, play well. We're going to be going against somebody who's we're close to in Dan Quinn, but anytime you gear up and you go against an FC East team, long-time rival in the Washington Commanders, you welcome that opportunity. And I know our guys, want to finish the season strong. We'd like to finish, not have that losing season, and we have the opportunity there in front of us. We've got to go. Starts against Washington and Dan Quinn. We know how much a win means to him as well. So it'll be big. It'll be big. That it's on Christmas Day. People will be after they have their Christmas time, will be watching games, and we feel fortunate to be a part of it.
You expect to see Dak out there for this one as well?
Absolutely. Our goal is to win the football game. What we focus on all week is the Washington Commanders and winning this football game. As I said, but our goal is to finish strong, and we got a chance to finish at 500 and avoid a losing season. And I know that's what we all as an organization would like to get accomplished.
Well, Steven, we really appreciate your time. Wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up with you next week. Good sir.
Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Take care.
There goes Steven Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, text on in. Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes next on The Fan.
And I guess for a lot of fans, the loss is the victory now.
No, man.
In some way.
There's fans. The fans want them to win.
I want them to win during the game, and then afterwards, if they lose, I guess it is.
You do get mad in
rewarding.
The post game.
I can't help it. I want to see them succeed, but with the draft stuff, it's like, okay, at least I guess. But then you still ended up, I think, at 14.
You were so excited that Minnesota pulled that victory out against the Giants.
Like, let's go, we're moving up a spot.
Yeah.
But not anymore. I think they're back at 14 via Tankathon after what happened the rest of the day yesterday.
So what happened where you went from 13 to 14? I thought we were kind of locked in there for a minute.
No, Baltimore is at 14. Okay, good. I was hoping Baltimore would leapfrog us. We're still all right at 13 with Baltimore dropping that one to New England, even with Lamar Jackson leaving. It looked like they had a chance there. Shout out to Drake May. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the big news, obviously, Tyler Smith, we found out during pregame, was going to play left tackle. Interested when we get to Krusty's Corner at 340, what you thought of him. But there's been a lot of back and forth. I know Steven on earlier with KNC. For the first time, it really did sound like this could be a permanent move.
Can I be real honest here?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you move an all-pro guard to left tackle?
I don't know. And I think the timing of this is really strange. Like, well, I get for the week, I understand it.
Yeah.
But now for the rest of the season?
How about this? Okay, I don't think Guyton's going to play the rest of the season, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there because I don't think you make this move if you don't think Guyton's coming back, right?
Well, I don't know, because Shoddy's saying, like, if Guyton returns, he's gonna be playing
swing tackle.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to me right now.
Couldn't agree more, because he needs as many reps as he can get.
Right. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I can understand in a week of not, they don't trust Adeniji. If this whole thing, just come out and tell us you think that Guyton can't stay healthy. Just come out and tell us that.
Sure.
Just come out and say, hey, listen, we don't think that Tyler Guyton can play long-term in the National Football League because he can't stay healthy. That's essentially what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Would you take an all-pro guard and move him to left tackle with the thought that maybe he's going to be maybe a Pro Bowl guard? Maybe? Because
no.
You watched that tape yesterday, he's a tackle. He was a guard playing tackle yesterday, and there's a sign of maybe brought us, give him more time. Hell, we don't even give Guyton time. We don't give Guyton time. We don't give Nate Thomas time. We don't give any of those guys time over there to do anything.
No, people want to say Revel sucks already, and he's played six games.
You know, that's fine. That's the fan base. I'm not going to argue with the fan base about that one. I'm not. If they want to sit there and I'll just keep evaluating players, keep talking, putting my draft boards together. Hope you guys all listen. But moving Tyler Smith to left tackle, I don't think is a good move. I really don't. I feel like that Dak Prescott can handle stuff off the edges. The tackles haven't been great this year. But to me, just moving him outside, it's easier to find a guard. Hell no! You know who your best offensive lineman is? Your right guard.
Yeah.
Your right guard is your best offensive lineman. Booker's been outstanding.
Booker's been really good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
And Tyler's been great for being hurt all year.
Exactly. I just don't know why all of a sudden it's like, you know, why don't you find a way to you've got these two line coaches. Why don't you find a way to let them work an offseason? You got Duke, those guys. You know, Guyton was making progress, but if you're moving this, if you're making a permanent move because you absolutely believe that Guyton is not going to be healthy enough to play, okay. But come out and tell me that. Don't just completely S-can Guyton. You know, he's going to be a swing tackle for us.
Now. Well, what if their thinking is we're going to have him compete at right tackle next year? We're just going to move him. We're going to play Tyler at left tackle.
Then you know what you need to do right now? If he's healthy enough, put him at right tackle. If he's healthy enough to, but you know what? But to me, I would put Nate Thomas over at right tackle. I mean, he wasn't great against Arizona, but all right. If Dak's playing, you need your best five regardless. But man, he might be, I don't think this is a permanent deal. I don't think so.
I hope not.
It's strange. The way that it seems night was that, moving forward.
I listened to Jerry Jones for 6 years tell me how important the front of the pocket is.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's telling him something completely different.
And listening to Steven, that's why, listening to him today on KNC, he'd always been like, no, he's a guard. We like him at guard.
Yeah.
Well, they're open now. They didn't shut that down. It's, yeah, well, we'll evaluate that. He's certainly capable of playing both spots. Now, Duke Manyweather, who we love and respect, at Big Duke 50, runs offensive, the masterminds for linemen.
One of the best at this.
He talked about the Tyler Smith move. He said his superpowers and the tools in his toolbox that help him excel at guard would be taken away at tackle and get him in trouble, which it does and has when he's on the edge. You'd be asking an all-pro player to reinvent himself to move to left tackle, and that's not what is best for him. Andrew Whitworth, all-pro tackle, added in. It's funny how easy people think this transition is. They're two different worlds.
It's not.
Here's how I always put it. When I played left guard for 2 years, football was fun. I never stressed. Just mindset, play physical, and technique was key. Missteps or timing can be masked with strength, size, and finish. Left tackle, it's a chess match. Every play, spatial awareness, and timing become huge factors. All limitations or missteps can then get exposed at any moment. Setting 1 to 3 yards versus 5 to 7 yards is a massive difference. The recovery is much harder. So the sport equivalent he gives, left guard is a big man on the block defensively. Left tackle would be guarding someone on the perimeter. That's how different this is.
That's an all-pro, probably a Hall of Fame tackle telling you that. Duke and what he's done in the years and stuff of work that he's done, telling you the same thing. It's not that Smith can't do it, because we've seen him do it. He did it for a year
when Tyron got his rookie season.
I'm just telling you right now, man, the guy is, if you tell me you got two outstanding guards, all pro potential guards, and a center in Beebe that's kind of developing, work with Thomas, work with Guyton. But man, it seems very, very strange. But I can understand it if you didn't think that Nate Thomas was, I know he was active yesterday. Played on the field goal team.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't believe that these coaches wouldn't want the opportunity to work with Guyton or work with Thomas if this is going to be a permanent move. Can't believe it.
It's a weird situation. It certainly is. I don't know. If it is just to survive the next two games, I don't know if Dak's going to play the finale. He's playing on Christmas Day. Steven told us that.
Oh, listen. This is what's about to happen. Jason Garrett made a living doing this. 8-8. It's important it's really, really important for Brian Schottenheimer to be 8-8-1. It really is. You don't want to get, the thought of having a losing season, even though the season is, no playoffs and all that. But to everybody in that building, being 8-8-1 is a lot different than being, being 7-9-1.
7-9-1?
Yeah, a lot different.
Mm. We found out about this Diggs concussion, boys. Eric, what were your thoughts? He was trying to be a handyman, which he says he shouldn't have been. He was trying to mount the flat-screen TV in the pole, ended up falling and hitting him in the head.
Is there a single person on Earth that's buying this?
I felt like he was ball-sacking us.
Not me on my end.
There's no, I mean.
He is well-compensated for playing football. You don't need to be handyman guy. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to be using power tools or putting stuff up or whatever you're doing. Go hire that stuff out.
He had to change the budget, though, after punting on $500,000 in the offseason.
Well, he still makes enough money every Tuesday to be able not to have to deal with. There's people that probably come over and help him with it. I think that to me this is not accurate. I think there's something else clearly going on here.
Yeah, I mean, why do you wait this long to come up with
why is everybody in the organization saying, well, you need to ask Diggs, instead of saying, hey, unfortunately, he was hanging a television,
right?
It hit him in the head. The pole hit him in the head. That just shows you. That shows you right there that somebody could have very simply, Shoddy could have said it, Jerry could have said it. You need to ask Diggs. Let Diggs explain that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things going on. What happened?
And who's doing TVs on poles? Have you ever walked into a house and be like, oh, that's a nice pole that you have there with your TV attached to it?
Mm.
Not once have I ever seen that. I don't know who's doing that.
A little fishy. But hey, that's his story. And he's sticking to it. It was interesting when he also added that he had thought that this could be his last game. He considered it. as a Cowboy at AT&T Stadium? I think it is, and he certainly didn't play well again. And I don't know if that knee's ever going
to
be right.
I don't think if you ask him to play 3 or 4 yards off and not get his hands on somebody, he's got zero chance. He has got zero chance playing that way. He has got, and maybe what happened to him, that stab and slip in Chicago, kind of wrecked him a little bit mentally for doing that. But that happens in a game. But if you let him play 4 yards off and not get his hands on people, he's not going to cover me. You watch that game, it was just, it's maddening to say, play him in press, let him engage, and let him try and run with guys. But he's, I'm just saying this to me, I kind of feel like that his technique, his balance, all those things that he really, really relied on, his ability to almost guess and be accurate, they've kind of left him. They've kind of left him, and that's unfortunate. He needs to line up, play press. That cover two play the other day,
He messed that up.
He absolutely
McConkey did. Touchdown.
You tell him real time he messed that up.
That's him. And you know, and the answer he gave Fred and them was
cover two.
It's cover two. Like he was almost saying, like it's cover two. You know, damn good and well, I can't play cover two. You know.
Yeah.
But man, if somebody, he's got to adjust it to the motion to his side. When McConkey was coming to his side, he's got to carry that route in cover two. That's what he's got to do. You know, if somebody comes in the flat, then you could sink and be that. But you could see hesitation. You could see him hesitate, like he was like, "Oh wait, am I supposed to be up back?" You know, that's a long run for Hooker and those guys to have to make.
Yeah,
if that's what he's expecting.
I mean, the safeties also just the angles, the depth in which they play.
He messed it up at the snap.
When the
motion came to him and went.
Yeah,
wide,
as soon as Hampton just decided he wanted to go out in the flat, He short-circuited. It's like, oh my gosh, there's a guy right there. Stop. Yeah. It was bizarre. All right, we'll keep talking Cowboys throughout the show. We got the top 10 coming up next. We got the College Football Authority as well. Let's get our G-Bag of the Day champ, and then the top 10 best Christmas movies, according to IMDb.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's the season, baby.
Second down and goal. Herbert in the gun. Gives it off inside to Hampton. Hampton shreds blue shirts and skitters into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. And it'll be a lump of coal in the Cowboys' stocking, at least for now.
Brad Sham on the call. This is your official home of Dallas Cowboys football. It's Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden running things on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. After the 34-17 loss, the pass rush does not get home. I wonder if you take like the top three stats this year where it's like, well, this team does this, so the Cowboys will definitely be able to do that. This goes up there with Herbert leading the league in getting sacked and getting hit. Would you say Lions pass rush getting home against the Cowboys? Like, what were the top three trends that the Cowboys broke this season? I mean, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, it would
having
it
life.
Would, the other big one is just, oh, this is a quarterback who shouldn't do anything against you, or like, oh, this is a passing attack, they can't do anything, and then they do something. So yeah, those, and then yeah, probably similarly, just the opposite side of it. This is a team that doesn't generate a lot of pressure, and then they will get some pressure on you because the offensive line has had their issues. So those three probably.
Matt Eberflus went upstairs, and it did not matter.
Stay there.
Try the Try the top of the stadium.
Yeah. That's I saw somebody say, just be in the roof next time. He should call the plays from home. Maybe he gets a better vantage point for the side. You know, was he in the end zone? Is that where he was? Or was he at the 50-yard line?
Yeah, it's kind of catty corner there.
I'm sorry, what?
Catty corner.
That's disgraceful.
It's what we say in Texas.
A coaching booth should not be in the corner of the end zone.
That's where it is?
Yeah, like the coach booth.
Where Brad and Babe call the game?
Brad and Babe call the game. It's next to it.
I mean, that's every stadium in the NFL. The coaches' booths are next to the announcing booths.
Yeah, should they not be... I don't know, either
in the middle,
all 22 level.
Above Jerry?
Or right above, right, 50-yard line, right above Jerry.
Like that is, so I would guess the coaches probably had input when they were building the stadium, because there's two different versions of all 22. There's sideline and there's end zone view. And so I'm guessing whatever input they received was that the coaches preferred to see it from end zone view.
I mean, to me,
sideline.
If you're a coach and you need
binoculars,
probably because they want
to see trench play easier. It's easier to see different things that they're doing in the trenches when you're in end zone view. When you're on sideline, it's harder.
What if they're in the other end zone?
Either way, like, you can still see it easier. You can still see everything happening in front of you, just binoculars or whatever else.
But I'd be like right behind,
yeah,
middle of the end zone, all 22 camera level.
So the secondary sucks. Diggs, he's washed. Savone Revel, I'm just worried about his confidence getting hurt in year two. He's awful. He can't tackle. Malik Hooker had a 50-yarder completed on him as well. Deron Bland, bad year for him before he was gone for the season. I'm like getting anxiety putting together this team's need list for draft time, because I was hoping to keep it to like three or four. And now with the offensive line, the linebackers. What was the report before the game from Christy Scales?
Oh, that they were going to play Kenneth Murray more than Logan Wilson, which...
I did recognize Logan Wilson. I did see Logan Wilson really for the first time. I saw his arm sleeve. So now I know Logan Wilson has a lot of tattoos. It only took me about four or five games. Yeah, he became basically the Jonathan Mingo of defense.
Murray was better last week, because initially I didn't think so, and then we did post-hut, and I thought he played better. Logan started out playing poorly yesterday. I think he finished stronger, though. So I think when we go back and watch it, I'm going to see that he ended up rallying a little bit. But
did they consult Eberflus before the Logan Wilson trade?
I know they consulted him before Kenneth Murray, because Kenneth Murray's his guy. So that's the one that he wanted him. I know that.
Because they're acting like Eberflus wasn't even consulted for trading for Wilson. But I saw him out there a decent amount. But Christy had reported on the Fan pregame that Kenneth Murray will start and receive the majority of the snaps over Logan Wilson. Jerry Jones was asked after the game if Eberflus could be fired before the season ends.
No, I won't. I won't do it. I can say that. That's less than 2 weeks to go, but I can say that, and I don't want to be unfair. Let me tell you, I can't tell you the kind of support that Eberflus has and had when we hired him. I mean, it was as thorough as any player coach I've seen. I've got to say this, that it absolutely is not his total making relative to where we are right now with our defense. And I'll stand up at one point in the line. I hear some of you criticize, and I completely understand that.
Wow. Jerry kind of saying it's the front office's fault as well for the personnel out there. I think that's what he was saying. Of course, he can't fully go there. He can. He doesn't and won't. But was Jerry sharing a little blame?
A couple different times he was saying, like, yeah.
Only took 30 years.
That's it.
I wouldn't have an issue if they moved on from Eberflus today. Let White Cotton see what he's got. You know, see how his game plan looks and his ability to call the defense looks.
Yeah.
I'm sure people were beating down Matt Eberflus's door in the offseason. I'm sure we heard thousands of interview requests from other teams. And look, I didn't have a problem with the hire. I mean, he was a former head coach. You don't want to have a team of zero former head coaches when you've got a rookie head coach there. I get it.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked.
Well, man, it does do something to NFL resumes in terms of credentials. It really makes you question how a guy who's had a respected name for a long time,
Rob Ryan wouldn't shut up about him for 3 years.
You throw Mike Nolan into that. I mean, Mike Nolan's a known, and we can make our jokes and hot sauce and all that stuff, but like, you have a respected NFL resume for decades and look and be this bad. It's kind of scary, Bobby. It makes me question some resumes.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's probably unfair 1 year, right? Again, personnel issues. They traded his best player, but yeah, Matt Eberflus was not a joke of a name before he came here.
No,
and neither was Mike Nolan.
No, it was. Look, I mean, the biggest problem to me still, and maybe this is, I should find a way to ask Jerry this tomorrow. They neglected too much, I think, to get to the bottom of why did he have so many issues with players at the end in Chicago? Why did that? Why were players?
I told you I was worried about his personality.
Yeah, why were players so against him at the end, to the point where there were stories about Jalen Johnson instructing him to leave the locker room, and he did. And then you see some of these issues crop up with players and how they're meshing this year and different things like that. It just makes me wonder.
And he failed in press conferences to take proper accountability. That worried me. That worried me a little bit. Now, he wasn't coming on over here to speak in a head coach's role, but it's like, yo, man, you can't even own an all-time F-up at the end of that game. I know I'm not talking about the Hail Mary. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about what happened on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you couldn't stand up there and be like, I think I messed up. That tells me a lot about you.
Yeah. And I think that to me is, there's a couple different issues here. One, it's, Brian mentioned this yesterday. Brian had asked me during the pregame show, he's like, should Eberflus have taken a year off? And the more I think about it, the more it's like, probably. You probably, it sounds like everything that happened in Chicago, you lost your way a little bit in terms of how you were supposed to connect with players and do different things. The other examples we've had recently in history did it. Dan Quinn took a year away. Mike McCarthy took a year away. They both worked on various things. One of the big things, we read that article from ESPN talking about how Dan Quinn's whole image makeover or rehab program consisted of getting anonymous feedback from coaches that he had previously had under him who felt like he had wronged them in this way, or this, like, he just basically like, did I ever do anything to make you feel like I didn't hear you or I wronged you? And it was something he was forced to confront. Matt Eberflus really didn't have that time down to confront any of that, and I think you're seeing it play out that way. He probably should have sat out, and he didn't, and I think what you're seeing is just some of those same issues that were he was clearly dealing with in Chicago. 2 months away was not enough time to figure out why did this go so bad before he had to go back and start dealing with
it. He had a great opening. He had a great opportunity. You're going to be the head coach, the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, like, bam, staring you right in the face.
And he can play with Micah. You had Micah. And he's licking his chops. And then all of a sudden,
he was. Eberflus was one of the ones who told them, we can get by. If you need to make the move, we can get by.
He could scheme pressure.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. What else did Jerry have to say?
He was kinder yesterday, I think, in the way he talked about Matt Eberflus, but man, it reads cold. Let's go with Cut 31. You're a big fan of continuity, Jerry. Does continuity help Matt Eberflus's case?
Well, necessarily, if we'll have to sacrifice continuity as it pertains to this year as to next year, we decide to make a change. And, you know, you can carry that so far. I saw where somebody wrote today that maybe with the evolving of players that you have, maybe the continuity of a scheme. But we played a pretty good defensive scheme out there tonight. And they've done a pretty good job in the time that that head coach has had them lined up. Yeah. He's developed some pretty good continuity out there with that defense in 2 years. So much for the definition of continuity.
That's not good. That's a bad that's a bad quote all around for Matt Eberflus. That basically says, I know you believe in continuity above all else. He goes, well, only goes so far, guys. And look, continuity, Jim Harbaugh just showed us you can get continuity in like a year, so we should be having this already.
Talking openly about the possibility of making a change, they've never taken it that far yet.
Oh, let's go further than that.
There's more?
Jerry, have you looked at potential coordinator hires already across the NFL?
You can imagine the data with the analytics and with the information that's available today, technically. And then I should, if I'm anything, know and have accessibility to the greatest choices that you could have regarding coaches. Now, that doesn't mean you can get them all, because they may be committed in other ways. But one of the great things about where we are and what we got, and we can get good coaches. And so that's not crossed my mind as far as the inability to effectively do something different if that's where we decide.
Oh, man.
He's already gone. The way he's talking, he's already gone.
I'm gonna tap the brake, and I'm scared, because two times in covering Jerry Jones, an imminent off-season decision was supposed to happen, and he didn't do it. And I was furious. I remember a sick feeling in my gut hearing the two times that he brought back head coaches. Garrett was supposed to be gone, and McCarthy was supposed to be gone. There's no way Mike McCarthy is coming back after the Packer playoff loss. No way. And then they announced it, and I was physically ill. Not anything like
me too,
particularly towards Mike, but it was just like I was ready for change. I want a new hope. You know, I didn't want to cover that offseason with Mike still there and the stench of that playoff loss. So my I believe it's 96% Eberflus is gone, but my 4% is Jerry Ringley brothers having, because he don't care about hurting someone's feelings to make headlines if he keeps them around. And 4% of me is like, all right, let's have the media talk about the Eberflus storyline over the last... This is my cynical side. I'm being cynical. Because he has stunned us in bringing people back that I don't believe should have come back.
But is this as...
I'm 96% though. It's fresh.
Typically 2 years for assistance.
2 years, okay.
Typically.
And he's getting paid...
He don't like to pay people who aren't working.
And AI just said he's making $4 million.
I would doubt that.
Yeah.
Shad's making $4.5 million. It says, reports places 25 salary on $4 million, one of the highest paid DCs. Okay.
My skeptical side, Bobby.
You're paying $4 million to sit at home.
My Jerry attention side is saying, let's create another storyline since we're not a storyline, being eliminated and out of it. And I can hurt Matt's feelings with him maybe even coming back. That's my 4%.
So,
he should have gotten rid of Garrett McCarthy before he did.
Right. The only thing I would say there is he always had a more protective word or two he would throw into his answers for them than he's doing with Eberflus right now. He's like openly talking, like he's talking like it's been done, and it's like, hey, we're in our job search right now. What are we going to do about this? It feels that Minnesota game.
But he insulted McCarthy publicly too by like talking about, I think it was giving love to Dan Quinn.
Yeah, sure. Like, oh, no, 100%. Yeah, he's definitely talked in a way that is would make you sweat if you were Mike McCarthy or Jason Garrett. But there was always something in there of like...
Jason was like family. He wasn't going to fire him if he didn't have to. And McCarthy just won 12 3 years in a row, which that would have been unprecedented.
This is every answer he's given in three straight media availability sessions. Even when it's not asked about, it's circling back to, by the way, the defense sucks. Y'all know that, right? I mean, one of the things we'll need to ask him tomorrow, he's starting to talk a lot about scheme. So I think for him, he's like, it doesn't matter how much I like the coach, I think the scheme is a problem.
Did you see Bobby in the women's bathroom yesterday at AT&T Stadium? And what the heck is wrong and on RJ's face? Best and worst of the weekend next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.